Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. As we head into Memorial Day weekend, there will be no Three Martini Lunch on Monday. Jim Garrity is off today. Hopefully you caught his appearance on the Daily Rundown with Chuck Todd. In Jim's place today, we're thrilled to have Daniel Foster, the news editor for National Review Online. And Dan, I know as we head into the first martini here that a lot of conservatives initially had some reservations about a lot of the candidates, and they certainly had some about Mitt Romney, given his positions on a number of issues, health care most notably. And one of the things I think a lot of people were biting their fingernails about was how he would change his message, if at all, once he became the presumptive nominee, which he clearly is now. And I think most conservatives have got to be pretty happy about the fact that he seems to be sticking pretty much with the same message he had during the primaries. He's not doing the etch-a-sketch. And the latest example of this is his words on education. He had a pretty strong speech in Washington earlier in the week saying that the money needs to follow the students, not follow the unions. I think some conservatives would like to see him say that the federal government has no role whatsoever in that and that should be left to the states and mostly to the local officials. But here's what he had to say later in the week on Fox and Friends about the unions, about Obama on education, where he thinks his policies would go.
For instance, in Washington, D.C., that school choice there helped immeasurably with young people and improve their quality of learning and their skills, and yet the president shut down the program. You know, he talks like he's for the underprivileged, but when it comes to the money that comes from the teachers' union, he's putting that, you know, the campaign cash ahead of the needs of our kids. And we have to recognize it's time to put our kids first, to get education on track by giving people greater choice in schools, by making sure we reward the very best teachers with great careers and rising incomes.
Uh-oh, the rich guys for the disadvantaged kids. Dan, I think the president's got a little damage control to do here.
The president is pretty good at protecting his highly coveted I'm for the little man image, at least in terms of the stuff that the mainstream media is willing to call him on. But the DC Opportunity Scholarship Program is really one of those things where it just kind of, you know, there's a chink in the armor, and what sticks out underneath is a guy who's really just willing to trade the future of a bunch of really poor kids for a blip in support among the union set that's always going to be there for him anyway. On the flip side of that, Romney has recognized, whether cynically or sincerely, that teachers' unions aren't all that popular in this country, and there's a reason why they aren't. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. A lot of issues in American politics are perennial. The left and the right never really win on any of these issues. The issues keep popping up again and again. But I think on the issue of education reform, particularly when it comes to unions, the battle has been fought and it has been won by conservatives.
And he does a good job. He did in the Fox clip there. We had to take out this part. But he said that we have fantastic teachers. He does a good job of separating the teachers from the teacher union. So that'll hopefully insulate him from the attacks the president uses to say that he's demonizing public sector employees, which I'm sure the president will do anyway. But
indeed. he learned that one from Chris Christie. That's a key move.
Chris Christie's a good guy to follow when it comes to taking on the unions, especially teachers' unions. We'll see if the NEA or the American Federation of Teachers decides to just say tough luck for the kids who can't afford to go to private
right.
school.
That'd be a big gift, yeah.
It certainly would. On to martini number two now, Dan. And I think most Americans are pretty horrified by the fact that our annual national deficit is somewhere around $1.3 trillion. I think they're going to be even more horrified to find out that if you factor in reality, it's actually, at least according to last year's numbers, $5 trillion. This is, I'm reading from USA Today here, the big difference between the official deficit and standard accounting, which is how we get the $5 trillion. Congress exempts itself from including the cost of promised retirement benefits. Yet companies, states, and local governments must include retirement commitments in financial statements as required by federal law and private boards that set accounting rules. And Dan, I think it's important you got to factor that in. If you look at how the pension system pretty much crushed the big three automakers and right. how we're looking at an entitlement fiasco coming down the pike very shortly, I think folks get a much bigger and better picture of just how dire in the financial straits we are right now.
The federal government's excuse, and it's a pretty bad one, is that they can always change current law. So the reason that they don't have to include payouts to seniors, Medicare, Medicaid, is because if it tickles their fancy, they can revoke all of those promised future benefits. We all know that's not going to happen. It's incredibly toxic when anyone even brings it up, much to the detriment of the future of this country. They're not even going to touch them or tweak them or change the eligibility, likelier than not. So that's kind of a thin excuse. But, you know, when I saw this USA Today story, I was reminded of my colleague Kevin Williamson's piece, oh, maybe a year ago now. And this is kind of the junior version of Kevin's piece. Kevin's piece was not on our real annual deficit. It was on our real national debt. And the number he comes up with by including, you know, things of this nature, using realistic accounting standards, including all of our unfunded liabilities into the future, is over $100 trillion.
Wow.
So as he points out, and it's, you know, if you read the piece, it's solidly worked out. It's not in fantasy land. And as he points out, it's more than all the money in the world. It's more than global GDP, not just paper money either, nominal money. There aren't enough bits on hard drives in the world to pay off that long-term debt. So this is just the small fry version of it.
Oh, my word. Well, if that's not a clarion call for entitlement reform, I don't know what is. So then some of those numbers can be changed in the out years. But wow, yeah, sobering indeed. And for an administration that now claims it's the fiscally responsible one, I'm not sure we can handle much more fiscal responsibility, quote unquote, from this bunch. But Dan, remember how we said just a moment ago how Mitt Romney was doing a good job of staying to his conservative principles and staying on message?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. He's now going to a fundraising dinner with Donald Trump and Newt Gingrich, and the Donald is making a big deal of this. He's even toying with the idea of a super PAC, but this is apparently going to get more and more attention as the event draws closer. You can sort of understand it with Gingrich, and since he was a fellow presidential contender, so I don't think that would do Romney's reputation a great deal of damage. Donald Trump's just kind of a carnival barker, and to take him seriously is just a risk you don't need to take. I don't think it's going to make or break his campaign, certainly. But if I were him, I would have taken the 5-minute endorsement in Nevada and run with it and never spoken about it in public again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's not like the choice here for Romney. This is what I don't get. It's not like the choice was have Donald Trump on the campaign trail with you or fear his wrath. I mean, what's he going to do? It's nice to have an endorsement from somebody that a few conservatives here and there like. So it's nice to have that endorsement. I don't think that necessarily hurts him. As you put it, if it's 5 minutes in one news cycle and you move forward. But this is nuts. And I'll tell you, for reasons I won't get into, I was watching Chris Matthews yesterday, much to my shame. And he was interviewing Newt Gingrich about this event. And he was saying, which, by the way, just for our listeners, if you haven't seen that video of Chris Matthews talking to Newt Gingrich about zoo animals, it's on the NRO homepage, and it's absolute essential viewing. But he was talking to Gingrich about Trump. Well, if Chris Matthews has mixed feelings about anyone, he doesn't need to be on the trail with Mitt Romney. If he's not universally loathed and despised by Chris Matthews, you shouldn't even think about putting him on the trail. You know, when Matthews is saying, I like some things about Donald Trump, that's a big red alert to me. You know, this you put it exactly right. He's a carnival barker. He shouldn't be there. The Gingrich thing is fine. As long as Gingrich behaves himself, I think he can help Romney a little bit.
Dan, have a tremendous Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Daniel Foster, news editor at National Review Online. We wish everyone a happy and safe Memorial Day weekend. We thank all of those who have served our country in uniform. And Dan will actually be in again for Jim on Tuesday when we come back with the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.